Morning. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 1 and verse 6. And I want to help us to feel some things, to say some things regarding missions and what we're off to tomorrow. We're going to pray and in just a moment. But I was talking with Marianne, Ken's wife, earlier, and she was saying she remembered I had asked them, I think last week or the week before, if they had ever done a missions trip. And I think she said no. And then she said this morning, though, that, well, you know what? We work at Waterbury High School, and guess what? That's a missions trip every day. And it certainly is. And, you know, the little sign on our back door where it says, when you leave, you are now entering your mission field. And of course, there is absolutely truth to that. It is true, and I'm a firm believer, and I love helping us to understand that written into our spiritual DNA now is this whole sense of mission, so that when a person comes to Christ, that they have about them now that what Jesus said, or what it said, what Paul says of Jesus in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where he says, you no longer live geocentric lives, but you live heliocentric lives. And we all understand that, right? How the world at one time was considered, the universe was considered to be geocentric, where everything revolved around the earth. And of course, thank God for Galileo and others who said no, that our system is heliocentric. And but in here where he says, where the apostle says, and he died for all, Jesus died for us, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So this whole idea that, you know, of mission that's been birthed into our lives, absolutely, that each one of us in Christ, that we have this sense about us that I was made for something. I was made to do something. And so much more could be said about that, but just to say that whole sense of mission, and then we know that the you know, it's like when you follow Jesus' movement through the Gospels, and it's easy to see that Jesus was a man on a mission. And his mission, of course, culminated in the cross, but it didn't stop there, his mission. His mission continues to where we have what we call at the end of Matthew's gospel, the Great Commission. How many of you have ever heard of that? The Great Commission. So that where Jesus says, this movement in my life, what I'm after for everyone, he says, I have taken the pains to pass that along to you, the church. The church's Great Commission passes on the baton to us, and the Great Commission is go everywhere and be an influence for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so that mission, we see that about ourselves, even as a church, that there's a mission that we are involved in. And I feel that mission in particular in my own life. And I have since I was a kid. I felt that mission in my life. I saw myself when I was a kid, you know, going somewhere, and I don't mean just around the block or to visit Waterbury. You know what I'm saying? When I first got saved, I had this sense about me. And it's been, you know, over the years, it's happened where I've gone here and there. A couple of you have been here and there with me and just loved it. You just had such an outstanding time, just such a joy to travel with. And but here in this verse of scripture, I want to say some things to us this morning before we pray to help us capture this sense of mission, this sense about us of also being sent, you know, and for each of you to see that however it is that your life is lived, that you're not captive to the routine of that life. That whatever the routine of your life is, that God has a mission for you in that routine. You understand what I'm saying? And that's big for us to get a handle on. It really is. And here in John chapter 1 and verse 6, somebody read that, please, 1:6, good and loud. No, whose name was what?
John.
No. My Bible says there was a man sent from God whose name was Bob. Now, if you look closely. Absolutely. And that's it. Exactly. But there was a man sent from God whose name was Bob. It's there, John, you know. And really that's how I see myself. There was a man sent from God whose name was Bob. I believe that our ministry here is one of responding to the Lord's call and having been sent here to be here. Okay? That's how I you know look at it. And you know, one of the tragedies that's happened amongst us, we're just gonna talk together today, is that okay? One of the tragedies that's happened amongst us in the church is that In so many churches, pastors come and go too quickly. And, you know, national averages, it's like, you know, 3 to 5 years. So sometimes that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But by and large, there's something that unravels amongst us. And I think one of the things that it unravels amongst us is that we have this idea, and it's a very subtle thing, that, well, you know, the pastor, whoever's here, well, he's just temporary. You know, the life of the church will go on. In fact, I had a man say to me once in the church, he was somewhat of a leading man in the church, and he was having some problems, and I was trying to deal with the problem in his life. And he said to me off the cuff, he said, you know, you guys come and go, but I'm going to be here. You know, yeah, that's what I said, you know. And yet at the same time, you know, that kind of thing can happen so that instead of there being, and it's my heart is that, you know, we talk about our church being a family, that there is, and I think that you know me well enough now, going be coming up on 8 years that we have been here, you know, I never want to be looked upon as, well, you know, the temporary guy, he, you know, someone else will be coming in pretty soon, just let this happen, that happen, or, you know, better, bigger offer come. Or whatever, you know, and heavens know that our hearts is that we become really connected, you know, that whole sense of that whole idea of being sent, and that we're sent to connect and become involved in each other's lives. I think I said last week when I was talking about tithing. Remember the message on tithing last week? Boy, that was a great message last week on tithing, Bob. That was just good. And I think at one point, in the message, I said, you know, as you've heard, you know, I've gone from, you know, from preaching to meddling, you know. And I look at it as part of my job description to meddle in your life. Okay. Now, I can't, you know, it takes time to build relationships to be able to do that. And that's the operative word. It takes time to build relationships, you know. And so that whole sense, that whole feeling of sent, that, you know, we have been sent here so as to become connected and that we can walk together and travel together. And all the things that happen on a journey that we find happening between us, with our destination being that we become more like Christ in the process. And this is a thing that I've discovered. In as much as, you know, it's impossible to be married all by yourself, it makes for a good marriage that way. I mean, it does, you know, the perfect marriage. In as much as that's an impossibility, it's impossible to be a Christian all by yourself. Regardless of the kind of temperament you have or the person that you are, it just doesn't happen. When I think of David's five smooth stones that he found in the brook and went and took out Goliath, he was able to take out Goliath because he found the right stone in the brook. If that stone wasn't with other stones in the brook, they would never have become smooth. He would have never been able to take out the giant Goliath. Now, sometimes the things that happen between us are designed to do what? Make you smooth. That is the friction that's called from those stones tumbling together in that brook. You get the picture? Yeah. And they tumble together and they work together. The thing that happens is too many stones jump brook. You know? And what happens is they stay jagged and rough. No, and that isn't allowed to happen. But man, where that happens in our lives, we become formidable weapons to defeat the enemy. We really do. So anyway, sent from God. There was a man sent from God whose name was Bob. And then in Acts chapter 13, we see something happening with these men who were specially chosen. And we understand that about the call of God. We have to understand this about the call. You know, do we need to stand up and do a jumping jacks this morning or something? I mean, everybody seems like, maybe it's the weather. Everybody seems in a lull. Maybe it's my tone. But I don't know. I'll do them for you. I don't know. Try to rub my stuff. I can do it. I can. So, in Acts chapter 13... We understand again with this whole idea of calling that every Christian has this sense of calling as well upon their lives, mission of calling, and of being sent into your workplace, whatever you do, but this whole sense of calling, so that, you know, God has a call upon my life. So there's something, you know, that's tailored for the uniqueness of Bob. And you have to see this about yourself, because it's true that there, in the uniqueness of who you are, there's a special calling in your life, Dr. Lawyer Indian Chief. And so there is also that special calling upon those of us who serve Christ Church, special calling. Not, no one decides, like they may decide a career, to serve Christ Church. There is a uniqueness to that call to do that. You understand? And so that calling we see here in Acts chapter 13 happening in a very special way with some leaders there. And I just want to read this for a moment, okay, as we read from John 1:6. It says, in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. That is Saul, who became known as Paul. And it says, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, apart from me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work to which I have called them. Notice, for the work to which I have called them. So here we have some leaders in the church, some people in the church, they're praying, they're worshiping the Lord, fasting. And broken into that, the Holy Spirit says something. Now, you have to understand, how is it that the Holy Spirit says something in this context? Well, he probably said it by way of a prophetic word through one of those in attendance. So the Holy Spirit spoke prophetically using the mouth and voice of one of the leaders that was there and said, I've especially called Paul and Barnabas for this special mission, for this work. Notice it's called work that I have for them to do. And it says, so after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and did what? What did the church do? They sent them off. Off you go now. And it says there, so it says that they laid hands on them and prayed for them. Then notice the next verse. The next verse again says, the Holy Spirit who spoke it earlier, the church who affirmed it just a second ago, laid hands on them and sent them off. And it says that the two of them sent on their way by who? By who? Come on, people. By who? The Holy Spirit. Thank you. You're awesome. Thank you, Sasha. By the Holy Spirit, for crying out loud. And then it says, and they went. And they went on their first missions trip, we could say. Seeing those kinds of things lined up, what I want us to feel this morning is this kind of thing happening among us. And this isn't for every church, for every church, and for churches in general, and most churches do have this sense of missions outside of their own culture, okay? That happens. And that's what was happening here. They were going outside of their culture on this mission. And I believe that it's a part of a healthy church to have this kind of sense about themselves. And we have it and have had it here. Not only is it because I go on missions work, but that we as a church host and support missions. It's an important part of our work. For me in particular, it's been a part of that calling that has been a part of our ministry since day one of pastoring as well. So where I come and go. It is not a vacation, although we do, cool stuff. See sites we don't usually see and so on. But nevertheless, I just want us to feel this as a church. And what I want you to feel, that you are sending us. You're sending us. In that I do not go unless I am sent. Period. I don't go unless I'm sent. First of all, I should say, I don't go unless I have an invitation to go. So in other words, wherever I go, I have an invitation, please come and help us. And then I don't go. Those two stars have to align, flip sides of the same coin. And then I don't go unless I'm sent. So I have this sense about us of being sent, And then, because I believe those are qualifiers of affirmation to go. So I just want you to hear that. I have a long history with Bosnia and Herzegovina. We as a church have met a few people from there. We've had them here. Of course, Slavko's been here a couple of times. Carmelo has been here. Jennifer Bliss has been here. Carmelo and Slavko are both from, you know, they're nationals from there. And Jennifer, of course, is from the States, but a young gal. And but anyways, and Cliff, of course, knows Jennifer. Mike, we've seen, you folks know her, but we've seen her in action. And she's quite the gal. Quite the gal. And, you know, as much as we talk about the missions that we're involved in here, when you go to a country like Bosnia and Herzegovina and you see what they're up against and how they're living and so on, and then to see a single gal in the mix of it and doing a good job, well, that's to be commended. And so I've been going for a long time and having gone initially in 1999 at the invitation of some missionary friends who were there, Dan and Nancy Larkin, and they were career missionaries, had served in Tanzania, and then at the age of 60, the Lord spoke to them to go to Bosnia, and they, at the age of 60, can you imagine? No. And but then again, Sandra and I, we went to Mexico, we turned 50. But anyways, they went there as missionaries. The war in Bosnia-Herzegovina was just ending. And it was the worst war in the, Europe since World War II, the Balkan War. And 250,000 people lost their lives. It's where the ominous and torturous phrase was coined, ethnic cleansing. Where just a horrible phrase, and in those, and he went while bullets were still flying and so on, and then invited us, me to come, and to participate in a Bible school that they had started, to begin to train leaders. There were no leaders, no pastors, there were no churches, no Christian churches in the whole country, and so I went when I went. Things were pretty quiet. They were still policing the streets with 50 millimeters in the turrets, you know. And I can remember passing one time with a friend, and I said, "I'm going to take a picture." In those days, you know, had a camera, you know. And he put his hand over my camera, and he says, "You have a camera. He's got a 50 millimeter. Be careful," you know. And I go, "Okay." And you know, pretty hairy stuff going on yet there. Things are a lot different these days. Population's built back up. There's still a lot of tension there in the country. But in those days, began to work with them, be involved. And a number of those who were in that first class, Slavko being one of them, they are now pastors in their own right of churches that they've started to become involved in, and also have participated, or still are, of being leaders in the Evangelical Church of Bosnia and Herzegovina. So I just, you know, a rewarding thing for me to see, and I continue to be involved and relate and visit churches and speak and be involved and try to bring some encouragement, so on and so forth. I think Sandra you've come twice with me, right? We've gone twice. Yeah. And I can't get her to come back. You know, they say three times a charm, not for her. But anyways, no, it was a good time. She enjoyed it traveling with her. I think the first time we stayed in Slavko's flat, remember that, on the other side of town, and walked everywhere. And in those days, things were pretty quiet. Not too many people out and around yet. And there we were living there. I really enjoyed that she was with me. And so there's a lot of history there, and a lot of things that you know, God keeps on opening the door for me to go back. And so, as you all know by now, you got me, this is what you got, is your pastor, a guy who comes. And hopefully I'm leaving you in good hands, okay? That got a couple of people who will be up and speaking, and I'm excited that Melody. I said to my wife, you know, I really feel like Melody should speak on those Sundays, and she was doubting Thomas and doubting Sandra. Just she's negative Nelly most of the time, and she said, and she said, oh no, she won't. You better, you know. And I really felt in my heart. So, you know, I asked her, and she was happy to do it. I really feel like she's already been preparing. I think she's got something good to say. Mike is no stranger to us to speak. And all of you know the drill. My wife and Lucy, Patty, and whatever is well are here. They're going to keep things going on Wednesday nights, our prayer time, our small groups. Things will be going on. And I am accessible. I'm a phone number away. You can still call my number and it will ring in to me. So, you know, so we're keeping tabs on things. You know, the situation with Lori, of course, we're monitoring. We have some things in place for that situation and so on. So you're not left shepherdless, okay? And you need a break from me anyways. You need a break. That's the question my wife asked, how long you gone for? Because it's like, how long you gone for? Yes, 2 weeks, like 15 days or so. And so this trip, I am really excited that John Torres is coming with me. John is like a part of our family, that has been a part of our family since he was just a little boy. And his family, his mom and dad, we've known over the years. Ben and Lila Torres, Ben, just a great guy, great family. But I'm happy. John is well traveled, and so he's going to school me on some things in this trip. And I'm glad that he's coming, volunteered to offer to come and to participate, see what's going on. And we have some things planned together. But I'm glad that he's coming. But this trip. We leave tomorrow morning. We leave tomorrow morning out of Kennedy. John's dad will be taking us to the airport. We fly to Istanbul, and from there we fly to Sarajevo, and Slavko will be meeting us, God willing, at the airport in Sarajevo, and so then we'll be with Slavko a day. From there, I think he's trying to arrange some stuff the day that. I think Wednesday to do some things with the church. And then we leave Wednesday night, I think. Yeah, we get there Tuesday, don't we? We get there Tuesday, Wednesday. We leave Wednesday night, I think, for Serbia. And we'll be in Serbia in a city called Meška Mitrovic. Yes, thank you. And let me see if I said that right. No, Sremka Mitrovica. And so we'll be there. Boy, the weather looks good all next, sunshine. Nice. It's going to be nice weather. Hitting 70s next week. Let me see what it's going to be in... Seattle, Herkimer, Split, Chihuahua, Mostar. Oh yeah. Oh, nice, John. Oh, we're talking 70s. Nice. And Mostar, Sarajevo, I think will be about the same. That's good. Happy about that. So we'll be in Serbia, which Bosnia is here. You got Bosnia, Croatia. You got the Adriatic Sea. And then you have Serbia right next door. And we'll be there, and I'll be participating in a seminar called Langham, L-A-N-G-H-A-M, Langham Seminar. Langham Preaching Seminar. Langham was started by Pastor John Stott. Some of you might know the name. If you can look it up, Stott, S-T-O-T-T. But he was the vicar of Christ Church, Church of England, for 30, 40 years, and a very renowned pastor and writer in the Christian world to this day. I have his books on my shelf. But he started this ministry to provide education, help, mentoring for leaders in the majority world that don't have access, don't have the helps that they need in training them to preach from the Bible, to teach from the Bible. And so that's what this is about. I'm going to be going in the first teaching. My seminar is going to be on exegetical guidelines for expository preaching. I know that means so much to you. And I do have probably 30 points. But anyways, now. But it's to help train these leaders to preach from the Bible, biblical preaching. And Slavko was all excited because, as I said, I think last week, he's expecting over 30 pastors and leaders. And Serbia, I mean, is a small country. I mean, very small. Very small. I think this city has like maybe 70,000 people. It's very small. But anyways, so we'll be doing there. Finish there. Go back to Sarajevo. And then from Sarajevo, we'll go to be with Mark and Vivian Shady. Mark and Vivian are the directors in Mostar, southern Bosnia, Herzegovina, of the Bible school that's there. And I will be teaching all week for like 5 hours a day straight. 5 hours straight. Lots of Bosnian coffee in between class sessions. And be teaching in the Bible school every day. Mike and Cliff know about this. They sat in on the class and took part in the questions or whatever. I don't think, were you ever bored? No, Mike wasn't. Cliff, he fell asleep. But anyways, it's a good time. I'm going to be teaching on Christian perspectives on worldviews, which is a highly academic type of course. But anyways, be teaching that to the students who are there. And then we'll be with Carmelo and Yvonne. We'll be with the churches there, people that I know, interacting and whatnot with them. And Jennifer, I was talking with Jennifer, and she said, unfortunately, she's not going to be around. Some kind of training or something, they have something that they're involved with Royal Rangers in that area. Royal Rangers is a ministry of the Assemblies of God. It's very well known there. And I think that they, if I'm not mistaken, they're going to be in Orlando at Disney World for some kind of training. Yeah, right. That's a mission field. But I'm not sure. But anyway, she's not going to be there while we're there. So. But anyways, that's what's going on. And with Langham, let me just say that Langham is a worldwide, I just feel so honored to have been invited to participate in this group. From my research, whatever, it seems like, you know, it's like, wow, I feel quite dignified to be involved in this, but they have, Langham has led, their movement has been involved in at least 70 different countries in the world. There are well over 400 volunteers who are training over 10,000 pastors and lay pastors. And they've had more than, since 2012, they've had more than 200 training events worldwide. Okay? So there's some other statistics I can give you about it. I'm not going to bore you with that. But anyways, yeah. Any questions, comments as we close? We're done. Yeah. Yeah, that's my next thing. Yeah. Would like you to actually lay hands on us. I'm going to ask John if he'll come in just a second and just lay hands on us and pray to actually send us as we go. But just any other questions or comments about this. Pray for us. Pray for our safety. I mean, these days in traveling, you know, it's always, you never know. And Bosnia is not the, you know, I mean, conflict can erupt any second. When we were there, was that with you, Mike, or both of us? When we were driving, yeah, Mark Shady took us, and as we're driving in, Mark got a phone call, don't go here, don't go there, they got riots are happening. And Sarajevo was under a riot situation. And okay, well, what does that mean for us? I don't know. Duck, you know. But it wasn't anything major at that moment. But, you know, we trust God and we go in response to the call. So, good? Are we good? So, to help, once again, to help us feel, pray for us, that this is us doing this as a church. This isn't just me, but us together. In that we are privileged to be supportive and helpful and sacrifice. And one of the things I said to the guys and to our church, which we're going to be, when I get back, we're going to step it up in regards to our sanctuary project. We're going to step it up and take it to the next level. But one of the things I said right from the get-go, I said, I never want to be involved in doing anything, including the sanctuary project, where it takes away from our giving and our involvement in missions. And by missions, that doesn't just mean, you know, across the pond, but we have other things that we're engaged in. So never want it to hinder that. Okay. Come on, John. Join me. The people are going to pray for us as we go. Put John on the spot. He's really a talkative guy, John is. And